Good to see you tonight. Would you turn your Bibles to 2 Peter, the first chapter, please? We're going to begin in a really familiar passage to you tonight. I hope by the end of our study this year that you'll be able to memorize these verses. Growing in the knowledge of our Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1, let's begin reading at verse 5. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and your moral excellence knowledge. In your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling, choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Be diligent, Peter says, to add to your faith or to supply your faith moral excellence. Moral excellence, that's excellence of character, excellence of integrity, excellence in purity. And to your moral excellence, he says, add to your faith knowledge. Brethren, knowledge is light. Knowledge is understanding. Brethren, we must have knowledge. I realize that I have been really hammering you with this idea over the last several weeks, and I make no apologies for that. Knowledge is so essential if we are going to be pleasing to God. Brethren, we will not make it to heaven if we are not people of knowledge. Satan preys on darkness, keeping us out of the light, brethren, and it just cannot be. Brethren, a lack of knowledge, I want you to think about this as we kind of button this up tonight and leave this idea. Brethren, a lack of knowledge keeps one in spiritual slavery to Satan. You know, in John chapter 8 at verse 31, Jesus would famously say, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." It was the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2 at verse 4 that would tell us that unless one comes to a knowledge of the truth, brethren, they will not be saved. In other words, they will die in their sins. It's knowledge, brethren, that stabilizes us spiritually. It's knowledge that protects us from error that surrounds us. You know, we've looked at Ephesians chapter 4 several times throughout this study, and you'll remember that Jesus gives gift to the church in form of apostles and prophets and evangelists and elders and teachers. And as we've said in previous lessons, these gifts were given for the purpose of teaching, communicating the will of God to the church. But look at verse 12. Notice the reason for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. He goes on to say in verse 14, as a result of this knowledge, brethren, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. You will never have growth, brethren. We will never have unity. We will be ripe for error and false teaching to permeate us without even ever knowing it, brethren, if we don't grow in our knowledge. He would go on to say in verse 17, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer, just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind." Look at verse 18, "being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart." Consider that statement for just a moment, brethren. Excluded from the life of God. That's no relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's no forgiveness. Why?
Why are so many people in that predicament? Why do so many people know nothing about a relationship with the Almighty God and the hope that comes with that? I'll tell you why. They have rejected knowledge. Brethren, we must never reject knowledge. Brethren, if we lack proper knowledge, if we're not growing in the knowledge of our Lord, we will lack the abilities. Listen to this. We will lack the ability to help others and to bring them to Christ. In Hebrews chapter 5 at verse 12, the Hebrew writer says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food," he says, "is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." Let me ask you a sobering question. How many people will never come to Christ because we simply reject knowledge? Brethren, do you see how important this is? In 2 Timothy 2 at verse 15, Paul would say, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." Make this connection, brethren. A lack of knowledge will bring shame to us. Shame will come in my inability to rightly divide the word of God, possibly leading someone astray. Can you imagine? Shame will come from my inability to give an answer for the hope that is found within me. Shame will come to me on the day of judgment when I stand before my Lord with zero excuses. Brethren, we are not born with knowledge. Knowledge just doesn't happen to us. Brethren, we have to commit to time in God's Word, time studying God's Word, time meditating on God's Word. 1 Peter 2 at verse 1, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." That's what we're after, right? If you've tasted the kindness of the Lord. In 2 Peter chapter 3 at verse 18, he tells us, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." Brethren, our need for knowledge, knowledge of God, knowledge of His Word, knowledge of His plan, knowledge of His church, brethren, it is clear. We must, as the people of God, living in busy times, where we're going here and going there, brethren, we must take the time, we must make the time to spend time in His Word. We must commit ourselves to knowledge, to study, to meditation that will lead ultimately to discernment, brethren. Don't you want that? I hope that you've seen through these series of lessons just how critical knowledge is. But as we begin and really end this series of lessons looking at this idea of growing in knowledge, I want to make a statement, and I want you to hear me on this. Man, you and me, brethren, we have a moral obligation. We have a moral responsibility to know God's Word. Let me say that again. Man has a moral obligation to know the Word of God. Amen? Brethren, are we people of the book or not? God has blessed us with His revelation. Not for Him, but for us. He has made His Word readily available to us in just about every form imaginable. He has placed us, think about this, He has placed us on this earth in a period of time where we live in freedom, in time where we have an education, in time where we can read and understand His will. It's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. Brethren, do we value what we have in God's Word? Are we treating God's Word with respect and reverence? Do we spend time in God's Word, soaking it up, on a daily basis. You know, as I've been thinking about these things, I have reached this conclusion, and maybe you share this experience with me. I can do better. I can do better when it comes to spending time in God's Word. You know, in Hosea chapter 4, we probably have the most famous statement that is ever made in Scripture when it comes to this idea of knowledge and not having knowledge and the repercussions and the punishment that comes with this. The fourth chapter of God's revelation to His nation Israel through the prophet Hosea, it comes with really a devastating charge against the nation of Israel. I want you to look at verse 1 of Hosea chapter 4 with me tonight. Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel. For the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness or kindness. Listen to this last phrase. Or knowledge of God in the land. Can you imagine? If there was ever a people that should have been knowledgeable of Jehovah God, it was these people. And God looks at them and says, they have no knowledge of me in the land. They chased after idols. They were consumed with other things. There was no faithfulness. There was no kindness. There was no knowledge of God in the land. But why? Was there no revelation? Was God not making His will known to them? Had God in some way hid Himself from them? Go over to Hosea chapter 8 and look with me at verse 12. God says through the prophet, though I wrote for him 10,000 precepts of my law, God had made Himself known to them. What was their reaction to God's revelation? The Bible says they are regarded as a strange thing. There was no appreciation for God's word. No appreciation for God Himself. They regarded God's law as strange. In Hosea chapter 5 at verse 4, their deeds will not allow them to return to their God. For a spirit of harlotry is within them, and they do not know the Lord. They do not know the Lord. I want you to go back to chapter 4, and I want you to look at verse 2 with me. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence, so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the beast of the field, and the birds of the sky, and also the fish of the sea disappear. Yet no one finds fault, and let no one offer reproof, for your people are like those who contend with the priest. So you will stumble by day, and the prophet also will stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. Look at verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Brethren, there are dire consequences when we reject knowledge. There are dire consequences when we reject God, not knowing His will, not having the ability to communicate it with others. God says these people are destroyed. But why? Because they simply lacked knowledge. Brethren, we must make this connection. I want us to make this association with these concepts. Where there is a lack of knowledge, there is spiritual destruction. Spiritual destruction personally. Spiritual destruction in our families. Spiritual destruction in our communities. Spiritual destruction in our nation. Are we seeing it? We simply must not reject knowledge. Man, me and you, we have a moral responsibility. We have a moral obligation to know the will of God. Don't reject knowledge. 4 points for your consideration before we leave this idea. I want you to get this. When one rejects knowledge, make no mistake about it, it is a personal decision that you are making. Go back to the text, and I want you to look at verse 6 again. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, but why? Why are they destroyed? God makes it clear. Because you have rejected knowledge. Brethren, you can lead a horse to water, we say, right? But you can't make him drink. Brethren, God has made His will known to us. He has provided us with every opportunity, with every convenience to know Him, to know His will. If you don't know God tonight, if you do not know and understand His will, here's why. It's because you have chosen not to know it. And you know who's responsible for that? You are. And I am. It's my fault. If we don't know the will of God, it is our fault. There's no excuses. We have simply rejected knowledge. You know, for some of us, we have sat in pews for years and years and years. How much do you know? Brethren, do we know enough to go out into the world and to teach people? You know, oftentimes we rack our brains. Why aren't more people coming to Christ? Why aren't we converting more people? Is it possible that we don't open our mouths and share the gospel because we just simply don't know enough? Knowledge. Make this connection as well. Rejecting knowledge, brethren, it's offensive to God. I think it's impossible to read the verses that we just read starting at verse 4 and not come to the conclusion that God was simply offended by these people's decision to reject knowledge. And why wouldn't God be offended? You know, like us, these people, God had done everything for them. He had bestowed His grace on them consistently and continuously, but they rejected Him. And make no mistake about it, brethren, when we reject knowledge, when we refuse to spend time in His Word, when we refuse to allow God's Word to be that mirror that it was intended to be, when we reject knowledge, brethren, we are rejecting God Himself. And it's offensive to God in light of everything He has done for us. John 8 at verse 47, Jesus says, "He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you did not hear them, because you are not of God." Brethren, if you reject God's Word, if you reject knowledge, you're not of God. That's pretty clear, isn't it? That's pretty straightforward. Rejecting knowledge, brethren, is a decision. It's a personal decision. Rejecting knowledge is offensive to God. But how about this idea? Surely we've seen this throughout our study. Rejecting knowledge, brethren, it's self-destructive. Back to our text, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." Brethren, spiritual ignorance is ruining us. Spiritual ignorance, it will destroy us. You know, when we lack the knowledge of what ultimately pleases God, when we lack the knowledge of what has been done for us, when we fill our minds with all types of garbage and useless things from an eternal perspective, we become carnal-minded, brethren. We begin to lack a spiritual perspective, and this is so destructive. This world, here's what happens. This world becomes all that there is. And as a result of that, we lack true joy. We lack hope. Years of doing it our way apart from God's way. The way of the fool, as we talked about last week, it leaves us with regret after regret. It leaves us with missed opportunities. It leaves us lacking joy and contentment. It leaves us with a hole in our lives that no material thing or no material relationship or no personal relationship can ever fill. And why? Why is there so much depression? even among the people of God. I'm going to tell you why. It's because we've rejected God. We have rejected His knowledge. Brethren, rejecting knowledge is not only self-destructive, is not only a decision, is not only offensive to God. I want you to get this point. Rejecting knowledge, brethren, it doesn't just affect you. It's not only self-destructive to you. It affects the people around us. It affects even the ones that we supposedly love the most. Did you catch that last phrase in Hosea chapter 4 at verse 6? Since you have forgotten the law of your God, God says, I will also forget your children. Let me tell you what that means. It means my spiritual ignorance, it has an effect on others. It has an effect on my children. It has an effect on the people that I work with. The people that God blesses us with by way of bringing them into our lives and providing us with the opportunity to teach. It affects them. When I'm characterized by spiritual ignorance as a result of my choice to be that way. Let's put it this way. You can't teach what you don't know. Isn't that true? You can't teach what you don't know. You know, in Matthew chapter 15 at verse 13, Jesus, He condemns the Pharisees. In verse 13 He says, but He answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, what's the result? Jesus says both of them will fall right into the ditch, right into the pit. The blind leading the blind. It leads to falling in the ditch. Brethren, what will be, think about this for a moment. I think we can all get ourselves wrapped around this. What will be the result if every generation knows less about God and His will than the previous generation? Are we trending in that direction? Well, I hope not. But what will be the result if every generation knows a little less about God and His will than the previous generation? Are you concerned about your posterity? Are you concerned about your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and those great-great-grandchildren that you'll never know? Are you concerned about them? How long will it be in your family where generations literally know nothing about God and His will? Brethren, how sad is that? Here's what I'm proposing tonight. It starts with me, and it starts with you. I think it's high time that the people of God, we as the Kenwood Church of Christ, we draw a line in the sand and we say, from this point forward, God's Word is going to be a priority in my house. God's Word is going to be open on a daily basis. Spiritual things are going to be the focus in my house. You know, parents, create a culture of study. Create a culture of spiritual devotion centered around God's Word. Create a culture of spiritual conversations. Parents, teach your children to love and respect God and His Word. Parents, take the time to show them how to study. Show them why we study. Show them the results of study. Church, let's be people of the book. Let's stand for truth. Let's never compromise. Let's be spiritually minded. Let's be excited, brethren, about growing in our knowledge. Let's be in God's Word on a daily basis. Let's take our Bible classes seriously. Let's prepare for them. Let's study for them. 2 Peter chapter 1 at verse 5. Now for this reason also, applying all diligence, In your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. Look at verse 8, brethren. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, listen to this, brethren, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. We, the people of God, living in this sinful world, in tough times spiritually, brethren, we have a moral obligation to know God's Word. But if you reject knowledge, it's a decision. If you reject knowledge, understand it's offensive to God. If you reject knowledge, understand that you are self-destructing, but also understand that if you reject knowledge, it's not going to affect you, just you. It's going to affect your children, your grandchildren, your brothers and sisters in Christ, and all of those countless people that you're going to come in contact with over the next so many years that you lack the ability to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's get in God's Word, brother. Let's make God's Word a priority. As a church, let's make God's Word a priority. Bible class teachers, put everything you've got into your classes. Bible students, put everything you've got into those classes. Parents, make sure that your children have their lessons. Spend time with your children on a daily basis, talking to them about God and His Word. Let's make it a priority, church. Can we do it? Absolutely we can. You want to bear fruit? You want never to stumble? You want to spend eternity in heaven? Be diligent to add knowledge to your faith. If you're not a Christian tonight, let's end this service by giving you the opportunity to become one. Know this: God loves you more than anyone could ever love you. And He demonstrated that love by sending His Son to this earth to die the most terrific death that one could die. He was humiliated. He was beaten. He was scourged. His blood was shed for you and me. Not for His sin, but for my sin. Don't walk away from that grace. Don't walk away from that mercy. Come to Him. Live for Him. It's the best life, brethren. And be rewarded with a home in heaven for all eternity. If you miss heaven, I'm going to tell you something. Hell is all there is. And you want no part of that. Why don't you come while we stand?